You could make a pretty strong case. Americans tend to have a love-hate relationship with small towns. For every story, song, or play portraying small towns as pleasant, safe, and sheltering, there's another one that paints them as restrictive, stifling, even cruel. Many a young person has dreamed of getting themselves to a big city just as soon as they can. But can that small town exert a pull that can grab someone and bring them back from the glamorous big city life? Mickey Maynard recently wrote about her journey from small town to glamorous big cities and back again to her hometown of Ann Arbor. Mickey, your story in the AtlanticCities.com is entitled In Praise of Smaller Cities. Do you think small towns and cities need some defending?
I was like everybody else when I was growing up. I wanted to get out of here as fast as I could. The first step was going to Michigan State for undergrad. The second step after that was heading out east. I went to Washington. I went to New York. I just thought, I'll never live back in Michigan again if I can help it.
And that was because?
Well, I think part of it is I grew up in an airline family. We traveled all the time. My dad brought home the New Yorker, and I would sit on the living room floor looking at the cartoons and then gradually reading the articles and the ads in the back. And to me, there was nothing more glamorous as a big city with the tall buildings and the lights, and I thought much more sophisticated people and a way of life that I would never have found here.
So over how many years were you living the big city life?
Well, actually, my first big city was Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. When I was 19, I went to be an intern in the White House.
Well.
And so that was the introduction right there. And then as soon as I left, I would say I was about 25 when I moved to Washington for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a back and forth, back to Michigan, to the East Coast. I actually made it as far as Tokyo for a little while. I lived in Chicago. And every time I would come home, I would start to see things at home that I was seeing in those big cities. And it struck me that either they were there and I just overlooked them, or I was learning, living in a big city, the skills that would make me more comfortable in a smaller city life.
So what were those things that you started saying, hey, wait a minute, it's here and there?
Well, all my friends know that I'm very interested in the local food movement. And I have always been someone who grew things in the backyard. My dad grew tomatoes and herbs and flowers, of course. And I've always been someone who went to farmers markets. So when I would come to Ann Arbor on the weekend, I'd always go to the farmers market. And when I lived in a big city. In New York, I would go to the Greens Market in Union Square. In Washington, we had local farmers markets in parking lots. And what I'd find was I was paying $1 or $2 more for a basket of strawberries than I would pay back in Michigan. And maybe the tomatoes that I liked weren't there, or the basil that I could get for Big Arm for $2 would cost me $10. So that was the first thing. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing was architecture. I have always been a huge architecture fan. I took a great architecture class at Columbia University. And I started to look around the Midwest and see some of the same architecture that I was seeing in the slides in the dark in New York City.
Now, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not skyscrapers so much.
Not skyscrapers so much, because it's kind of interesting. Even small cities always have one tall building. But some of the residential architecture, the Midwest is has fabulous examples of Frank Lloyd Wright. The Midwest has fabulous examples of Louis Sullivan, Daniel Burnham. I found out that Belle Isle Park was designed by Olmsted, who designed Central Park. And so I think we do tend to have kind of a big city prejudice that only the best in America can be found in our biggest cities. Mm. And we don't take the time to look around and see those same people came out here because at one time, and probably it's still true, people were interested in having the best in their area.
We do tend to romanticize big cities. I mean, the way you described your views as a young student of thinking of New York, I've shared that. I have a son and daughter-in-law who are living in the South Loop in Chicago right now. Why do we romanticize it? Is it movies? Is it thinking of 40s movies and what New York looked like in black and white? Is that part of it?
That's part of it. We have those images from television, from the movies, I think from the books that we read. One of my favorite books when I was young was Marjorie Morningstar, which is by Herman Wouk. You probably mm-hmm. know him for War and Remembrance.
Right.
But this was a book that was written in the 50s about a girl growing up in the 30s. And it definitely romanticized New York. One of the things that I did when I moved to New York was go find the El Dorado apartments where Marjorie had lived in one of the towers and looked out at Central Park. But, you know, you do that once. You have that memory. Okay. You have that experience. And every time I go back to New York now, it only takes a half a day. And I feel like I'm back living in New York. Hmm. But I have the advantage of a garage. I have a garden. I have air conditioning. I don't have to share a wall with 30 other people. I have trees of my own. I don't have to go to the park to see the trees. So you find the things that matter to you in a big city, and then you bring them home with you.
So when you came back, which was when?
Well, I think I've moved back pretty much permanently. Oh. I joke with my friends that I might go and live in Italy, but I'm not going to move to Italy. So I came back for good at Christmas time this last Christmas.
And in your story, In Praise of Smaller Cities, you talk about looking at your small hometown of Ann Arbor, comparatively small, compared to New York and Tokyo and Chicago. What did you see with your new eyes after having lived in the big cities?
First of all, I think the thing that made me the most sentimental was I drove up to Gold Bond Dry Cleaners. And the ladies know me, and they brought my dry cleaning up to the front just because they saw my car drive up. No one in Chicago or New York is going to do that unless you're spending so much money at the dry cleaners that they know you. Another thing was walking into Zingerman's for breakfast, and there's Ari Weinzweig. And Ari gets up and gives you a hug. He's so glad to see you. And just sort of those sorts of things, the personal relationships, and you can have them in big cities. Absolutely. But it's harder. There are more of you and one of them, and it's a little bit more difficult. And what I found was that especially in big cities, money talks a lot louder. And so the folks that tend to get that kind of attention probably have a lot more money than I do. One of the other things that I noticed was that you get inured to this, but when I was living on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, there was a lot of noise. There was noise from upstairs in my beautiful Bees Van Der Rohe apartment building. Someone who got up at 6 o'clock every morning. There were ambulances. There was a fire station nearby. And you get used to that when you live in a big city. But you come home to Ann Arbor and you're home. And the noises that you hear are maybe a dog and leaves falling off a tree and the kids talking to each other as they're walking home from middle school. And those are different kind of noises. And then at night, you might hear a bird, you might hear fireworks in the summer, but generally, it's pretty peaceful.
Michigan certainly has suffered the brain drain. And I guess, is that because the big city in Michigan is Detroit, and Detroit has been broken, and there's certainly hopes for it. But even though there is more of an influx of young people moving back downtown, it's not enough yet, I think, to draw our best and brightest.
Well, everybody has the feeling that, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. And so I would not keep anyone in the state of Michigan, anyone who grows up here, from going out and exploring the world. I certainly did. And mm-hmm. I think that will eventually make them appreciate Michigan a lot more. But one thing I want to point out is Mario Batali, the famous chef. His wife is from Michigan, and a few years ago, he and his wife bought a big tract of land up north, up in the Leelanau Peninsula. Mm. And since then, they've become very, very active members of the community up there. They preserve some land that might have been lost to development. They now are singing the praises of Northern Michigan to everyone in New York. And I just read an article that people from New York are now starting to come to Northern Michigan because it's hip, because Mario came, and because I think it was Good Morning America said the Sleeping Bear Dunes is the prettiest spot in the country. And so sometimes it takes people from the outside to endorse what you have right in your backyard. And yeah. One of the things that I found in Chicago was I was basically replicating the life that I had in Ann Arbor. Huh. Only it took about four times as long, because you get stuck in traffic on surface streets in Chicago, or you sit there on I-90 and you're thinking, I could have been to the credit union and back by now. I can get, you know, to the farmer's market in 10 minutes. Why am I circling the block looking for parking? And so what I would recommend for anyone who's thinking, oh, gosh, I think I'm sick of Milwaukee or Chicago or Cleveland or whatever, maybe I'll move home to Michigan. Mm-hmm. One of the things I would ask people to do is decide what's really important to them. What do they have to have? Do they need access to good coffee? How important is walking to school for your kids? Do you want to be able to get out and walk the dog at all hours? What do you need in terms of movies? You know, we're not the number one movie market here. Mm-hmm. You get kind of jealous of Los Angeles and New York and Chicago for getting movies first. So sometimes you have to wait for a movie to get here. Property. I mean, this is not the cheapest place to live, although it's much cheaper than a big city. Mm-hmm. So I would make a list. I wouldn't just say, oh, I'm nostalgic for home. Let me move home. And also you have to put the intellectual part of it in there. You know, you might live, not be from Michigan. You might be from the South or from another part of the country where you've lived on the East Coast. Your views maybe have changed. Folks back home, their views haven't. You know, you have to get along with people and you have to decide, is that going to be comfortable for me as well?
The economic hardship in Michigan is what drove so many of our youngsters, once they graduated from college, to Chicago, elsewhere in New York, or going to college in Chicago, as in my son's case, and then just staying there. Things are picking up again. Do you think we may see some of these, the exodus be reversed, and we might see some of these younger families, young couples coming back to the roost?
I just spoke at a conference in Grand Rapids where talent is very much a big issue. Yeah. And the whole discussion was, how do we keep our talent in this area? And one of the suggestions that was made back when I was with Changing Gears, reports mm-hmm. that people heard on Michigan radio, was that if people have a reason to stay, if they're in college here and they've worked on a business with a professor or they've started their own venture or they join up with a local business, they might want to stay after graduation. So if you look at folks who are going to college here as people that you can tap into while they're here, that might be an incentive for them not to leave home or not to leave Michigan mm-hmm. in general. I am hoping that the economy will pick up a little bit more. But what I think is the solution is sort of these one-to-one relationships. And as we were saying earlier, it's easier to have a one-to-one relationship in a smaller place than it is in a bigger place. And that might be an advantage for smaller cities in Michigan.
I know Governor Snyder has got his common refrain is, would you want to be another yuppie in Chicago or do you want to make a difference in Detroit? Is there a validity to that statement?
Absolutely. And I wouldn't probably live here if I wasn't from here. My feeling about my home state and my hometown are very, very strong. My family, my dad's family is actually from the East Coast. And I feel strongly about the East Coast as well. But I'm glad to have roots here and roots there and be able to go back and forth. I do think you can make more of a difference as an individual in Detroit and in the surrounding area than you can among the millions of folks like you in Chicago. I think you'll have the company of millions of folks like you in Chicago, but you'll be blending in where here you might have the opportunity to stand out.
Thanks for talking with us, Mickey.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mickey Maynard wrote the article In Praise of Smaller Cities for theatlanticcities.com, and we've put a link on our website at michiganradio.org.